The parable we're looking at today meets us in an uneasy place where faith has to look honestly at a mixed world. Jesus tells of a farmer who plants good seed in his field, only for an enemy to come during the night and sow weeds among the wheat. At first, the damage is hidden. The field looks normal. But as the plants grow, the truth becomes visible. Wheat is growing, and weeds are growing too. That image can feel very close to real life. We look at the world and we see generosity and selfishness. We sometimes find love, fear, faith, resentment, hope, and weariness growing in our own hearts at the same time. And like the servants, we want to ask, where did all of this come from? If God is good, why is the field so tangled? Jesus doesn't give a shallow answer. He names evil without pretending it is harmless, but he also refuses to hand the servants permission to tear through the field in impatience. The farmer waits, not because the weeds don't matter, but because the wheat matters too much to damage. The harvest will come, but it belongs to the farmer. This parable teaches that God's patience is not weakness. It is mercy, giving time for repentance, growth, and final justice. So listen as I read, or read along with me in Matthew 13, 24 through 30. And then I must skip down to verses 36 through 43. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the seeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, some things are easier to spot after they've had time to grow. A seed in the dirt doesn't tell you much. A little green shoot may not tell you much either. But after a while, after roots deepen and fruits begin to show, you start to see what is really growing. That is true in gardens, and it is true in people. We don't always know what we're looking at in the beginning. We can think something is healthy when it's not. We can think something is ruined when God is still growing something good beneath the surface. We are quick to judge from what we can see, but what we can see is not always the whole truth. Jesus gives us a field. A farmer plants good seed. That matters. The problem doesn't begin with bad seed or a careless farmer. The field is not neglected. But while people sleep, an enemy comes and plants weeds among the wheat. That can seem a little familiar. So much harm begins quietly. A little bitterness, a little dishonesty, a little jealousy, a little pride dressed up as conviction, a little fear that starts making decisions for us. Then time passes and what was hidden begins to show. The servants are troubled when they see the weeds. They ask the farmer where they came from. That's a question just like we ask so often. Lord, if you're good, why is the field like this? If your kingdom has come near, why are people still cruel? Why do lies spread faster than truth? Jesus doesn't pretend the weeds are imaginary. He doesn't say, you're just being negative. The farmer says, an enemy did this. Evil is real. Sin is real. Harm is real. But here is where the story turns. The servants want to fix the field immediately. Now that can kind of sound right to us. If the weeds are there, pull them. If something's wrong, deal with it. There are times when action is necessary. Scripture never calls us to ignore, abuse, excuse harm, or leave vulnerable people unprotected. Love does not mean passivity. But this parable is not about whether evil matters. It does. It is about whether human beings are qualified to make final judgments before the harvest. The farmer says no. Not because the weeds are acceptable, but because the wheat is precious. If the servants tear through the field too soon, they may pull up the wheat along with the weeds. This is a needed word for the church. We can become very confident with our labels. Wheat, weed, good, bad, in, out, worthy, unworthy. We can forget how many times God has been patient with us. Some of us have had seasons when we might not have looked much like wheat. God's patience isn't weakness, it is mercy. It is the mercy that gave Peter another morning after he denied Jesus. It is the mercy that met Thomas with wounded hands instead of a lecture. It is the mercy that Paul found on the road to Damascus when the church would have only seen him as dangerous. If the servants had been in charge of the harvest, Paul might have been uprooted before grace finished its work. Now, this doesn't mean everyone eventually chooses God. Jesus is honest about judgment. The harvest will come. The weeds will not remain forever. Evil will not be allowed to choke God's creation for eternity. There will be a final sorting, but Jesus places that work in the hands of the Son of Man and the angels, not in the hands of impatient servants. This is humbling and it's freeing. It means we do not have to carry the burden of being final judge. We are called to discern, but not condemn. We are called to bear fruit, but not control the field. We are called to resist evil, but not become cruel in the process. We are called to protect the vulnerable, but not pretend we can see every soul as clearly as God sees. The farmer's patience also tells us something about God's heart. God is not slow because he is indifferent. God waits because grace is still at work. There are people who need more time to repent. There are hearts still being softened. There are roots still being healed. There is wheat still growing where we may only see a mess. And maybe that's not just about other people. Maybe it's about us too. Most of us would like this parable better if we could assume we are obviously wheat and someone else is obviously weeds. But Jesus has a way of getting past our defenses. We know there are places in us where the good seed of the kingdom is growing. We love the Lord. We want to be faithful. We want our lives to reflect Christ. But we also know there are things in us that do not belong in God's field. Resentment can grow there. Self-righteousness can grow there. Weariness can harden into cynicism. Fear can make us suspicious. Old wounds can start making new decisions. We need the patient grace of God too. That's why this parable is not only a warning, it is good news. The farmer does not abandon the field. He does not look at the weeds and say, "This is ruined." He stays with it. He guards what is growing. He knows the difference between what must be saved and what must finally be removed. When Jesus explains the parable, he says the field is the world. And that matters because God loves this world. Not just the clean parts, not just the easy parts, not just the parts that already look holy. The field is mixed, but it is still God's field. Our calling is not to run from the world in disgust. Our calling is to live as children of the kingdom in the middle of it. We grow as wheat when we tell the truth with love. We grow as wheat when we refuse to repay cruelty with cruelty. We grow as wheat when we feed the hungry, welcome the lonely, forgive the repentant, protect the weak, and keep trusting Christ when the field looks tangled. We grow as wheat when we remember that holiness is not harshness. Holiness is love made visible. I think part of our struggle is that we confuse patience with permission. When God doesn't act on our timetable, we assume nothing is happening. But anyone who has ever grown anything knows the most important work is often slow and hidden. Roots take time. Fruit takes time. Healing takes time. People take time. The church is not called to panic in the field. Panic makes us careless and harsh and forgetful of the gospel we preach. Christ is not anxious about his harvest. He calls us to steady faithfulness. The kind that keeps loving, serving, and witnessing when the field is confusing. There's also a word here for those that feel discouraged by the weeds. We can get tired of praying and waiting. We can get tired of seeing broken patterns in the world or in people we love. We may even be tired of seeing the same struggle in ourselves. But the farmer's not finished. What looks slow to us may be the mercy of God giving grace room to work. So what do we do while we wait? We stay rooted. We keep growing. We stop trying to do God's job, and we become more faithful in ours. We examine our own hearts before we start yanking at someone else's roots. We stand against evil without surrendering to hate. We practice patience without calling sin harmless. We trust that justice is coming, even while mercy is still giving time. At the end of Jesus' explanation, the righteous shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. That is where the story is going. Not toward a field forever tangled, not toward evil getting the last word, not toward God shrugging his shoulders at sin. The story is going toward harvest, healing, radiance, and home. So yes, for now we live in the mixed field. Some days that break our hearts. But the field has an owner. The wheat has a keeper. The harvest has a Lord. God's patience isn't weakness. It is mercy, giving time for repentance, growth, and final justice. So let's grow where Christ has planted us. Let's bear fruit that looks like Him. Let's be patient because God has been patient with us. And let's hold on to this promise. The weeds do not own the field. The enemy does not own the future. And when the harvest comes, the people of God will shine in the kingdom of their Father. Bow your heads with me, please. Lord of the harvest, thank you for meeting us with patient grace. As we leave this space, help us grow where you have planted us. Make our lives bear the fruit of your kingdom. Teach us to be patient because you have been patient with us, merciful because you have shown us mercy, and faithful because you are faithful. Send us into the world with courage, humility, and love. Keep our eyes on Christ, our roots deep in grace, and our hope fixed on the day when your justice and mercy will be fully revealed. In Jesus' name, amen.